Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Becky Duffield. Becky, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Becky, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Well, I'm originally from the Detroit area. I'm an only child and have two wonderful parents who are still there in the Detroit area. They've come to visit one time now since we've lived here. But yeah, I just had a great childhood, lots of great memories, pretty active outdoors, and I'm an introvert, and so I had a few close friends, but I loved playing with my friends and being involved in a few extracurricular activities, and we were very involved in our church. My parents were very involved personally in roles there, and so I was always at church with them whenever they were doing things.
Yeah. In that era where if the doors of the church were open, you were there, right?
Yeah. My church had, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening opportunities. So we were always there.
Yeah. So what was your parents' role within the church?
So they, for a long time, gosh, probably, I don't know the exact number, maybe 25 years, they taught the two-year-olds, two- and three-year-olds, so they did that. But then my dad became an elder, so he was an elder for many years. And then my mom, she had different roles. She helped to lead the children's ministry, part of a committee to do that, but she led that, I believe, with an elder alongside her, and just very, she was part of the choir, and then just any way she could help. They were both very involved.
Yeah. And a lot of times for those of us that were fortunate enough to grow up in the church, we don't remember anything else, and maybe that's your story, but at some point we have to make the decision personally for ourselves. So was there a particular moment like that for you?
I'd say for me, it was kind of a twofold process. My parents, you know, they love the Lord, and so they taught me about Jesus. I think it was when I was about 11 years old, I went to a summer camp. And that's when I really remember hearing not only that Jesus loved me and wanted a relationship with me, but I had a sin problem that prevented that. And that Jesus died on the cross. I had heard those things before, but that was the first time I remember hearing you have to make a personal decision. And so, you know, it really impacted me, and I made that decision then. But I think I also have a very compliant personality. I want to do the right thing. And so I was very much a rule follower, never wanted to get in trouble. So that's kind of how I lived my life too, always trying to do the right thing. When I went to college, that's when I really began to struggle, just to want to fit in. I was a quiet person, wanted to be outgoing like my friends. And so I really struggled to walk with the Lord in college. I didn't go to school with anybody I knew. There wasn't a Christian group on campus to get involved in. And so I just kind of went with the flow those first couple of years in college. And my sophomore year of school, CREW, which was formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ, came to my campus and launched a ministry. So I started to get involved in that slowly, just kind of as time allowed. And then it was at the end of my sophomore year where I really felt like God was saying, Becky, you have to choose. You can't continue to live for yourself and, you know, what pleases you and try to fit in and, you know, do whatever the world says you're supposed to do and try to profess Christ at the same time. You just can't live this double life. And so it felt like God was saying, you need to choose. And so by the grace of God, I chose Christ. I knew the way that I was living was just leaving me empty. It wasn't fulfilling. I felt like people didn't really know who I was. And thankfully, at that point, there was a girls' Bible study that I was able to get into and see, okay, this is how you grow and walk with the Lord. And so I would say that's when I really fully surrendered, you know, kind of experienced my own sin and was like, I don't like this. I need Jesus in my life. And so that's when I really began to grow. I was involved in Crew, and God used that to transform my life. And so I think that's why I love working with college students today, is because how he used that in my life.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I can see the thread or the tapestry kind of coming together of your need as a college student, and God using that to give you a passion for other college students. Right. And how just God's timing, that Prue was brought there while you were there, and that was something that you really connected with. And was there a large group of students in that college that they connected with? Was it a small
group? It was a pretty small group, but several people that just wanted to walk with the Lord and have an impact on others around them. And it was where I learned how to share my faith with others for the first time. And I think that helped me to grow exponentially, you know, to step out and do something scary. Like I said, I grew up in church. Like, I knew the gospel, but I had never learned how to share it in a clear, concise, understandable way to lead somebody else. I mean, I kind of talked about it with my childhood friends, but to really have a clear presentation of the gospel that made sure people really understood, I didn't know how to do that until college.
Yeah.
So what was your involvement in Crew once you went and you said you got involved? So what did that look like?
So there was a girls' Bible study that I was in for the next few years. They had monthly Metro meetings, and so I met a few other people there. They had retreats and conferences. I went on a few of those. It was funny because I went to one conference just because it was something to do, but God used that to change my plans. It was called Life Options, and it was made for juniors and seniors, and so I went toward the end of my school career, and again, I was just there to have fun, you know, to be with people, hear good Bible teaching, that kind of a thing. But that's where I learned about an opportunity to go to France with Crew. And I loved the French people, French language. I had actually had French from first grade through 11th grade and just loved it. Always wanted to go, but never thought it was a possibility to actually live there for a year. And so God used that to get me off of my plan. My degree's in architecture. I was going to be an architect. And so I decided I can give a year to God, kind of tithing a part of my life in a way. So I was like, all right, I'll go to France for a year. And God's fulfilling my dreams through me getting to be a missionary and take the gospel to France. But then while I was there, he again rerouted my plan, which originally was to come back and be an architect. But then I wanted to join staff full time with Crew and continue to grow myself, but also impact others for Christ in a full-time capacity.
Yeah, it is amazing how when we give ourselves to help others, how God uses that to grow us.
Yeah, I think I grew more that year than I impacted anybody that year. That's how it felt.
Yeah, well, only heaven will know, right?
Yeah.
As you were talking, I was thinking about, we also had your husband Rich share his testimony not too long ago, and he shared about giving a year of his life and how that changed the trajectory of what he had planned for his life. And so anything you want to share about the year in France and then after moving back, how God kind of changed the plans that you had for yourself?
Well, the year in France was, I grew a ton in my faith, just stepping out of my comfort zone completely, and getting to see France is an interesting place because of the history there. You know, you have these gorgeous cathedrals, but today they're pretty empty. You know, they're just places people visit if they're a tourist. But so it's very, very rare for somebody to, encounter somebody there who knows the gospel. And so it was a great experience for me to live alongside French students. We got to live in the dorms and share our lives with them. We were there as basically cultural exchange students. So we took French language classes, but then we spent a significant amount of our time getting to know the French students. And it was like God showed me, you can do this too by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like,
that's right.
This is not... Like I said, I'm an introvert. I'm not a talker. And so to see God use me in that way where I could initiate, again, out of my comfort zone, but he used me to share the gospel with people who had never really heard it before.
Yeah. I can only imagine, like I'm a extreme extrovert, so I can only imagine the almost fear and trepidation of going to share with someone in a different culture and where they have maybe a little bit of a different perspective, you know, of faith and that tradition. So what was that like? You're putting yourself on the line, and you have, these are students you're doing life with, and is there any particular story of how God opened the door for a conversation? I know it's been a while ago, but not that long ago. That was faith building to you.
Yeah. I mean, it has been 25 years, so we are reaching back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a girl in particular that I was able to. She lived on my floor and was real sweet and welcoming. I mean, they were all very kind, very hospitable, and I think sometimes French people get a bad rap, but they are very kind and welcoming. And so, just to see God use that relationship, where I mean, I was honestly her friend, you know. Now, I wasn't just there on a mission.
Right.
You know, I wasn't just there trying to convert a bunch of people.
Right,
there,
right.
To develop relationships and care for people and get to share. And just to see, she didn't end up becoming a believer. I'm trying to remember if we even saw one person come to know Christ that year. It's just such hard soil in that part of the world. But just to see her come to a point where she was interested in talking and interested in reading the Bible and trying to discover things for herself.
Yeah.
So we've lost touch. But that's one story that sticks out, that, you know, maybe God, you know, used little old me and as a little part of her life.
To plant seeds.
Right.
You know, because we're not in charge of the outcome.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's God's work. And we can't bring someone to Christ. Jesus saves. We don't. Right.
Right. Right.
But just to even think back, and I love that story because what you said is so true. Like, you were there to build relationship and to learn to know people. And it's an important part, the relational, the showing up. I care a lot about that. So it's music to my ears to just hear that you were able to build that relationship. You were able to, her heart was open to scripture. And wow, like that. And it is hard soil, but you were willing to do it. And so, yeah, that's great. That's a great story.
Yeah. I was thinking of the same thing as Pastor Margaret was saying. Like, it's just our job to plant. It's God's job to bring in the harvest. Becky, so talk about, you mentioned that trip was 25 years ago. And so when you came back, you had wanted to be an architect, but God kind of drew you to working long-term with Campus Crusade, correct? And actually now you work with Athletes in Action. So talk about working with Crew.
Yeah, so I really wanted to, I wanted to be personally developed more in my ministry and what I was able to contribute to the kingdom. But then two, I saw God could use me. And so I joined staff with Crew. My first role was more of an office setting, which more aligns with my personality. Like I was part of operations with the interns, helping them to with their paychecks and, you know, kind of the backside of things. But I also got to be on campus a day a week. I was at Butler once a week and got some good training there. During that time, I met Rich. He was already on staff with Crew. We actually met in Virginia Beach, so it's kind of fun we're back in Virginia.
Full circle.
Yep, definitely full circle. And so when we got married, I joined him down at North Carolina State University. So we were there for a couple years. And then since God calling us to Kentucky to lead a team, we both had our training under our belts. And then we had the opportunity to lead a team. Lived in Kentucky for about 19 years. And we were team leaders for all of that. And it was also during that time when we had more opportunities with athletes. And we were living in Moorhead, Kentucky at the time. And because we were there, we were present at a lot of athletic events. God brought some of the coaches and their wives into our lives. And just the way God works, he just was kind of laying out this path for us. And Rich especially is athletically minded, really drawn toward sports. I'm just kind of a spectator. I'll hang around. I like the fun and the community part of it. And so we ended up doing more and more with athletes and sensed God leading us to switch to Athletes in Action, which is under the crew umbrella, but specifically focuses on athletes. And so we started doing that. And yeah, I love it. I think at first I felt like, well, who am I? Like, I was not a college athlete. I was barely a high school athlete. I was a swimmer and diver and enjoyed that, but I'm not a real athlete. You know, so what do I have to offer? But God showed me they don't need another coach. They have plenty of coaches, especially at the college level, and they need somebody to come alongside them in life and to be somebody they can talk with and somebody who can point them to Christ. And, you know, especially I think in the athletic world, you know, it's all about, they gain their identity from what they do, you know, either their sport or academics, could be relationships, but to point people to they can have their identity solidly in Christ and how they compete differently when that's the case.
Yeah, if their identity is totally in how they perform, that can be pretty devastating. Mm-hmm. Could be a very much of a roller coaster lifestyle. So
very much so.
Yeah.
Anything you want to share about your time at Moorhead and then how you all ended up here in the Shenandoah Valley?
Mm. Yeah, so our time at Moorhead, I loved it. We had a wonderful group of friends. Some of my best friends were coaches' wives, and God used us. It's interesting to, just the other day, I got a note from a girl who was emotional. So there was a girl who played softball for Moorhead. This was, back toward the beginning of our time there. I can't even remember the exact year she graduated. I want to say maybe it was around maybe 18 or 19. Well, she actually transferred her last year. So, but when we were officially Athletes in Action. And in her note, she was just expressing how God used my ministry in her life. It's easy sometimes to wonder.
Yeah, right.
You know, not everybody that I invested in to is walking with the Lord today.
Yeah.
And so to receive that note was such an encouragement that God used that time and continues to use.
Right.
Just the time that I'm investing in people. And so lots of good memories from Moorhead. And one of the significant relationships was with Preston and Misty Spradlin. I met Misty the fall that we moved to Moorhead, which was the fall of 2015. And it was just a mom's group that another coach's wife had started, the head baseball coach's wife. She started it, and we had little kids, so we would get together, and that grew into a relationship with the Spradlins. They became really good friends of ours. And Rich became more and more connected with the men's basketball program there. And, you know, jumping ahead, they came here to JMU last year. And over the last year, we were trying to discern, does the Lord want us to go to JMU also? And things were so great at Moorhead. You know, we had so many opportunities, so many connections. Ministry was really good. And so, you know, and our kids were happy there. They had friends. You know, we have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, and you know, that's a hard time mm-hmm. to make a transition. And so we were really just praying and trying to discern, does the Lord want us to go? And he made it clear that he did. And so we moved here in May so that Rich could be a part of the program here as the character coach for the men's basketball team. And I get to do Athletes in Action here. I'm the only staff person. I think this is the first time Athletes in Action has ever been at JMU, as far as I know. And so now I'm just taking a lot of steps of faith and trying to see where the Lord's going to use me here, the opportunities that he's going to give me. I want to just continue to be faithful.
Yeah. You know, I think about it's so meaningful when someone lets us know that we have impacted them. Yeah. And it makes me think as I go back through my life, and at certain points, God put people in my life that I know were there for a reason. But it was many, many years until I actually came to faith. And so I'm just thinking about the girls that you spoke into their life, and maybe they're not with the Lord right now. Yet. We'll say yet. But I love that God pursues us, and he's continuing to pursue each one of those women, and will place other people along their path too, that he cares that much. So that, you know, to think that there you were a part of that, and but then God bringing that one to tell you, hey, you impacted me. Because a lot of people will think about it, but they won't write the note, right?
That's true.
So what a blessing that is. And now you're here, and there are many opportunities again. And, you know, as God opens the doors, it sounds like you're ready to walk in. And it's beautiful that you all can do this together.
Yeah.
And it is like your children have transitioned here. It's good to see your family, and I know that those things can be difficult, and just the whole process of moving into a new place. And but God is faithful in the midst of all of that, and you're finding your place within this community. And I think I might have mentioned this in Rich's testimony, but I laugh because the collective height of our church has grown since Kevin came on staff, and we see the sports community showing up, and just that relational community. It's beautiful to see what God's doing through that, and just the young people that are walking in these doors, and you all are a part of that. And God brought you here for such a time as this to minister to college students. And it seems to me that there's a lot of college students that are open to the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. And that you are, that he brought you here to be a part of that. Wow.
Yeah.
It excites me just to see what he's doing.
Yeah. It's humbling to be a part of it. But I know, I mean, it's definitely not my eloquent words or anything that I'm doing is really, obviously the Lord is at work. I mean, just what he has done and allowed me to be a part of, even in just so quickly, has blown me away. Just the openness of some of the coaches, and I know God is at work in hearts, and I just get to jump in and be at a part of it.
Yeah. You're jumping in the flow, and it's beautiful to watch. Very beautiful, just to see what God is doing in this sports community at JMU. And other colleges also.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think we will realize till heaven the impact that we've had on people's lives. But it is cool when he gives us glimpses of that, like the note that you shared from the girl from Moorhead. But if you'd like to talk about some of the opportunities he's given you here to minister to athletes at JMU. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, one really fun experience that I've had so far is to serve the volleyball team. I think it was through our relationship with the Spradlins that Coach Lauren Steinbrecher was open to me coming and being a part of the volleyball team. And I'm so grateful for that. It's been a really fun experience. And just through that, I've been able to kind of have just like a group of people, the athletes and coaches and managers, where I can come alongside them and care for them and serve them. And through that, you know, I get to build relationships with them and have conversations with them. It's been neat to see how I've been able to connect with every girl on the team and the managers. And, you know, some are more spiritually interested than others, and that's okay. I'm here to come alongside mm-hmm. them where they are. And, but I feel like that's a way that I can serve as I'm officially called character coach. And, you know, in my role, I get to care for mind, body, and mm-hmm. spirit, you know, their soul. And so I think sometimes that can get lost in athletics too, is you're just your mind and your body.
Yeah.
And, you mm-hmm. know, and sometimes athletes feel used because of that.
Yeah.
And so to remind them, no, like you are a real whole person and, you know, you have struggles and things that I can be there to talk through with them. And I'm open to going as deep into the gospel as they want to go and share that with them. So that's been a really fun opportunity just to serve the team. I get to be at practices and shag balls. I'm not a coach. I don't even really know volleyball very well, but I love being around it and serving in whatever way I can.
Yeah.
But then I also, I know FCA has been here at JMU yeah. historically, and I think they're in a regrowth mm-hmm. point, but they've been very welcoming for me to come alongside and partner in a way. Yeah. We're not competing, you know, we're partners in the gospel. And so I'm building relationships with them and, helping to, they don't have a woman on campus, so I get to disciple one of their female leaders, and that's been a really fun experience. And then just meeting some other athletes as God intersects us. I know there's, as you mentioned, there are athletes coming to church here, some yeah. volleyball girls that I invited. Well, those volleyball girls invited some basketball girls, and so they're now here, and actually this Friday I'm going to be meeting with them just to hear their story, get to know mm-hmm. them. I never had much of a conversation beyond saying hello here at church, and so I'm excited just to see how I can care for them and where they are with things. And so, yeah, it's been neat to see things unfold, and so I'm excited for what God has in the future.
Yeah, I love, I'm always looking to just at how God, he doesn't do things randomly. And you might have, you know, you went to school, architecture matters. And I'm just thinking about the mind, you know, body, soul, spirit, like all of it. It's the entire architecture of who, you know, mm-hmm. in who we are. Like mm-hmm. you're still, that's a part of your ministry. Like it's still, it's all of it. It's not parts of it, but you see all the parts matter, and them coming together, and building a solid foundation of faith, and helping people to grow in that foundation, making sure that foundation's solid, mm-hmm. So that they do have something to build on. What a gift.
Yeah.
Well, Becky, thank you for joining us today. Anything in closing that you'd like to share that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
Nothing in particular. I think I'm just grateful that the Lord brought us here. We love it. We love the community. We feel like this is home for us, and we're hoping that the Lord keeps us here
right.
a long time. We really like the area. It's beautiful. Shenandoah Valley, it's gorgeous. And then the church family here has been wonderful to us. So we're very grateful.
We're grateful, too. Yeah, we're grateful to have you all a part of our church family, body of Christ, community, all of it.
Yeah. And we're grateful that you all left a place where you had grown comfortable in Moorhead, mm-hmm. Kentucky, and answered God's call to come here to the Shenandoah Valley. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you for joining us today. It's been great to have you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Becky Duffield's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.